This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to talk a little bit about 9/11 because it is a very important date, of course, and it just happened. So we all know what happened that day. A lot of people died, and we're sorry about a lot of people dying, especially sorry for the families. No matter what theories people throw around about everything, the important part to remember is that, in fact, thousands of people did die. And
in a horrible way.
And that's very sad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like either they jumped from the building, which... That sucks.
I saw some of the pictures of that going around.
They were burned up, which that sucks. Or they were on the plane that actually smashed into the building. You were just on a plane this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I was on some planes over the weekend.
Some without engines.
And
some with engines.
It was terrible.
Some with doors.
Before we get into I got some stuff to say about this trip on 9/11. The pictures of the guy falling from the building, you know, that like falling man photo. Mm. It's terribly heartbreaking and disgusting. And I just wonder, while he was falling, if he knew that someday January 6th was going to happen. You know, like some people don't know how good they have it. Is what I was thinking. When seeing these pictures rolling across my feed today.
Yeah, 9/11 does remind me of the worst day of American history, which is January 6th.
Of course.
You know, I didn't think of bringing it up that way.
Of course not. Okay, it's been 22 years, but like everyone, I still remember where I was when it happened. You remember where you were when it happened. And, since Twitter allows all this misinformation to thrive, these days, unlike it used to when it was only the truth all the time, when other people owned it, I've seen a lot of 9/11 conspiracy theories going around. I mean, tons of them. You get Building 7, you get the fact that 22 years ago yesterday, the Pentagon announced that they couldn't find $2.3 trillion, didn't know where that was. You know, Rumsfeld comes out and is like, oh yeah, by the way, $2.3 trillion.
Can you now bold and italicize?
On desktop you can, yeah.
I had no idea.
Been able to do that for a while on desktop.
How about that?
Yeah.
Shows you how much I use X.
So there's tons of...
I'm an avid X user.
Very much. There's tons of theories out there. By the way, that $2.3 trillion that they announced that they were missing the day before 9/11, which is it's just weird how the world works out sometimes.
Still lost.
I'm not. At that time, I want to put that number in perspective. At that time, $2.3 trillion... was about 14 months worth of funding for the U.S. government. So over a year's budget for the U.S. government was announced as misplaced. They didn't know where it was. They couldn't track it. They didn't know where it was. These days, with inflation, that comes out to $4 trillion, which is about 8 months worth of funding for the U.S. government. So that's something to put in perspective, just so you know how big of a deal that, imagine if the government came out and they were like, we misplaced $8 trillion. They announced that like today. And then tomorrow was like the worst attack that had ever happened in American history. And we never talked about it again.
Also, at that time, what was America's debt in 2001?
The debt, I'm not sure. The deficit, I believe, was
like either $1 or $5 trillion.
In 2001, they had like maybe a $50 billion deficit or something. It was pretty small.
Yeah, because during Clinton, there was a surplus.
There was a surplus for a year or two. They had a surplus. We still didn't have a debt, but of course it started exploding after the war on terror.
I want to say the debt around in 2001 was like $3 to $5 trillion.
Yeah, I don't remember. We'll have to look that up. It was much lower, much, much lower than it is right now. So anyway, I know that there's all types of theories out there. We're never going to know. But I did tweet out this post that I think is actually important. Of course I do, because I'm the one that tweeted it or X'd it or whatever. I said if 9/11 was an inside job, our main goal should be removing power from the government. And if 9/11 happened as told, we should ask why the hijackers attacked us, realize it's because the government unjustly wields its power overseas, and then our main goal should be removing power from the government. Either explanation requires the same solution, and that's the solution we should all be working on together. So the point being, I don't think we'll ever be able to answer all of the questions that people have, and there's a lot of people out there talking about these questions. And instead of just focusing on that, if you want to make sure it never happens again, if you believe the inside job theories, if you want to make sure it never happens again, then you would want to decrease the power of the government, of the state. That's the way that you would actually do it. And if you think that they attacked us because we were over there, it was blowback, things like that, then you should also be wanting to take power away from the government.
Let's so just focus still the on government's that. Part.
So it's still the government's fault.
Yeah.
Okay. Either way.
I said fault. Same
yes.
fault.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, I have the figures for you.
What is it?
In the year 2000, the debt was $5.6 trillion. 2001 was $5.8 trillion.
Okay.
And I just want you to know they have this from 2000 to 2018 on this chart. And they have some figures that are bolded in bold letters. In certain years. And they want you to know that the bolded figures illustrate the growth of public debt from the war on terror, the Great Recession, and Trump tax cuts. I'm not joking.
Can you airdrop that to me real quick? I want to see that.
Can I?
You should be able to airdrop it to this laptop.
No. I can put it
somehow.
Let me put it in the podcast notes real quick.
Okay. We don't have the technology to airdrop between the two of us.
I don't think that my messaging is signed in on this thing.
No, you can airdrop between laptops.
Oh.
Whatever. Okay. We'll figure it out someday.
Yeah, one of these days.
So I did take some planes over the weekend, and this is important, I promise. This is important stuff. So I did go to Denver, and I had a heck of a time flying.
It's in the notes.
A heck of a time trying to fly to different places. It was frustrating. Overall, I would say it was frustrating. And the first time when we left Nashville,
you were still in the midst of a miracle.
Yes, it was still a miracle. You're yeah. right. Yeah. You're right about that. So the first time when we left Nashville, we had about a 2-hour delay. We were on United Airlines.
By the way, 2 days before you guys left, they had canceled all their flights.
You
had
told
some
me
kind of computer issue.
When I told you we were taking United, you were like, oh, I don't take United. And I was like, why? I mean, they got a lot of their planes have screens.
It's only if it's like, if it's the only option, because I've had just such horrible experiences with them over the years.
So our first flight was a Boeing 737 Max, like the new planes, you know, the ones that have killed the most people in the last few years. I didn't know that until afterwards.
Not America.
Not America. So that's important. We couldn't take off because we had a left engine malfunction. They couldn't get it started up. And so we had to go back to the gate, and we sat there for a couple hours. They finally got it started up. And so we left. And then when we went to leave Denver,
they just needed an extra crank on the shaft.
So.
Yeah.
I guess they had to pop the clutch while we were pulling back to the gate, probably is what it was to get it going.
Yeah.
When we went to leave Denver, we sat there for about an hour because our different kind of plane, had a left engine malfunction.
They left engine?
Left engine couldn't get it going.
Those darn left engines.
I know. Whoever's working on left engines needs to get fired.
It's that left engine tech.
I know.
Yeah.
So couldn't leave. We ended up going back to the gate, and our flight is delayed for about 3 hours is what happens. They deplane us. Things happen. We actually ended up hanging out in the American Express Lounge, which is called what?
The Centurion Lounge.
Centurion Lounge.
Not American Express.
Well, it says Amex everywhere, all over the place.
But it's the Centurion.
Lounge. And we missed our flight when it finally took off. We got to the airport at 7:30 that morning so we could have breakfast at the Centurion Lounge. Our flight was leaving at 10. We go in the plane. We get in there. Left engine doesn't work. We eventually get back to the gate. We deplane. And the plane eventually takes off around 1, but we were eating lunch in the Centurion Lounge at that time.
But that plane didn't work, so probably good that you weren't on that one.
True. Yeah, I guess so.
Did it land, you think?
It did land.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure.
Were your bags on that plane?
So we didn't fly out until 5:45. Yes, my bag was on that plane.
So when you got to Nashville, was it just going around the carousel, or did you have to go to
like... sitting at the office.
You had to go
to And I just went up and grabbed it and left. I don't know if you're supposed to talk to the person.
Didn't even check.
No,
nothing.
I just went and grabbed it and walked out.
Yep.
So anyway, I had such a bad experience with United this time around. This is why it's important for a political podcast. That I told John, the guy I was traveling with, I don't think I'm going to book stuff on United anymore. Like 2 planes in a row, the engine isn't working. Thank God we found that out before we were taking off, you know.
At least South and Southwest, they don't tell you.
I know. They just don't sit next to the window.
You know?
So, that's true. That's true. So I was like, I don't think I'm going to take United anymore.
Ignorance is bliss, man.
Yeah.
You know?
And, it got me thinking because people like Robert Reich and Elizabeth Warren and even the Biden administration, they've all been going after airlines because airlines aren't compensating people fairly for when things like this happen. And we didn't get any compensation over the weekend. And it was pretty two trips in a row where we had these big delays, you know, nothing from that. And so what I came away with is, when I book flights, I'm just not going to book United, or it's going to have to be wildly cheaper than the other airlines, like wildly cheaper to make up for the extra hours or risk of death that I could have on these flights.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a free market solution, right? Like I got upset with United, and so now I'm going to look at a different airline.
You didn't call the government hotline?
No, I'm not waiting for them to find them or anything like that. What I've decided is I'm going to use a different airline. Now, if there's enough of a problem and enough people have problems and they decide that that's what they're going to do,
they'll find more left engine techs.
Exactly.
That would make sure those left engines.
They'll pay and they'll poach the left engine techs from Southwest.
Delta.
From Delta.
And they got the best. Yeah.
And best left engine technicians out there on the market.
Last I checked.
I read the blog about that. They said Delta.
Yeah.
It was the top.
Now that's coming from their CEO. But
top
you know.
5 left engine technicians on this blog post. Now Delta probably paid for this blog post, I'm sure. But that's the one that I'm going to go for next time. Anyway, there's your free market. I took an Uber ride while I was in Denver. This is important also. And this lady, nice lady, happened to be black. Okay, it's important for the story. I didn't care that she was black until she started saying...
Do they smoke weed in the cars?
Black people?
No, Uber drivers.
Oh, in Denver.
In Denver.
No, Denver. I didn't smell any weed.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, but, you know, it wasn't any stronger than mine. You know,
you didn't smell weed while you were there?
Not really. One time outside
the
place.
Places that it's legal. It's like, you know, in Vegas, you know, we were playing the poker tournament.
Yeah. Vegas, though.
You walk outside.
You're not
just
supposed
like,
to tell people about this.
Oh, I'm not?
No, it's because it's Vegas, you know?
Oh,
it
yeah.
stays there.
Oh, oops.
Yeah.
Can we cut that?
So this girl, she was from Texas originally. And we were like, why'd you move from Texas? And she goes, because I got sick of funding my own oppression. And what do you say in a moment like that? Okay. She's driving you. She moved to Denver away from Texas. Why'd you move from Texas? Because she didn't want to fund her own oppression.
I'd be curious about it. I'd be like, well, what was oppressive?
Now, what do you think I did?
You were judgmental.
No, I said absolutely nothing because I knew she wasn't worth talking to anymore and that I was only going to be wasting my time. But what I should have done was ask her, so what oppression exactly are you talking? What oppression did you experience? Not that you saw posted on Twitter about how you were being oppressed and you didn't know it until you read about it. But what was it? I'm not sure.
The goose says oppression dies out after you get to a certain elevation.
Yeah.
It's science.
This other Uber driver we had, Denver must be a very progressive place, or their Uber drivers must be, or Lyft, actually. It wasn't even Uber, it was Lyft. We were talking about home prices. He said it was super expensive to live in Denver, and we were like, yeah, it's getting really expensive to live in Nashville also. Like, the prices have gone up however many X since we moved to Nashville. And he was like, yeah, and how much did the minimum wage go up during that time? And I was like,
it's a playbook. It's like, it's literally a playbook.
I don't know, but
they all have the same playbook.
Now this one we actually did respond to. John and I were like, we can't even name you a business that we think would be paying the minimum wage. Not, the businesses have all raised what they're paying people.
Not even McDonald's.
You know? McDonald's, you know, has $11. The Walmart has $11 an hour.
I think they're all up like 15 now.
Yeah. The fast food restaurants, you know, they start trying to compete with Chick-fil-A that was paying $15 an hour. Target's $15 an hour. Like, who cares what the state's minimum wage is? It doesn't matter. And that's basically what we told them. And then we didn't talk much after that either.
Didn't say much after that.
Yeah. It was a very interesting experience for sure. But those are my two rideshare driving and free market flying experiences.
Like you had a great time.
It was weird.
In Denver.
It was a fun time for sure.
How high did you and John get? Because
about a little over a mile.
A little over a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Something like that.
So halfway to the moon.
You did bring it. You sent this over here. Historical debt outstanding. They literally bolded the Trump tax cuts, which didn't even go into effect until 2018, by the way.
Yep.
So 2016 and 2017. I don't know what they're talking about. But there's those statistics right there. I love that from thestreet.com. Okay.
Well, that's because we were talking about 9/11, which spurred, you know, for me, it spurred a moment of silence for Jan 6.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. But then we were curious what the debt was, you know, because the Department of Defense lost that $2.4 trillion back in September 10th.
Yeah, 2.3, no misinformation.
I'm sorry, 2.3, okay. September 10th of 2001. And so they lost about, you know, 35% of what the current debt was that year. But that chart I found to be just kind of funny. They wanted you to know, when you're looking at the national debt by year, that what contributed in the 2000s was the war on terror, you know, because we had to fight them terrorists over there. The Great Recession, you know, that excuses Obama's spending. So George W. Bush and Obama get an excuse. But then Trump directly led to the increase. Now, Trump did spend too much money.
Spent money.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it wasn't because they stole less money from you.
It's because they spent more than they took in.
They spent more than they took in.
Yeah.
We are, as they say, tangled in our anchor chain. Our financial systems are decades old. According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions. We cannot share information from floor to floor in this building because it's stored on dozens of different...
Okay. So anyway, they were arguing really for more money at that time to modernize their better accounting methods.
They had all these
methods.
Antebellum systems.
Yes, probably. All right. So the big thing that happened, it really happened on Friday. It happened after our Dumb Leap of the Week episode, and it was blown up all weekend.
Which is quite unfortunate because this is, you know, a super dumb...
It's very, very dumb.
Yeah.
There's several dumb things associated with this. And then people are still going off about this Elon Musk and Ukraine Starlink thing in just a ridiculous manner. But the governor of New Mexico, what's her name? Karen.
Definitely Karen.
Mitchell or something. I think Karen Mitchell is her name.
Is her real name Karen?
No, I don't know what her name is. Michelle. I don't know. She's got a weird name, and it doesn't matter.
Come on, wide group. Pull someone for
tell
us.
Someone tell us what her name is.
We clearly do our research. This is the most well-researched show you're going to find.
Oh, Grisham. Michelle Karen Grisham.
Okay.
They put her middle name. It must be like her old last name or something that she wants to use because it has a silent J in it, and so they want to make sure, not silent J, it's a, what do you call it?
A hard J?
Well, it's not her name isn't Lujan. I'm sure they say Luan.
Oh, it's,
you know, so she wants to keep that heritage in her name when she's running for political office because all they call her all the time is Luan Grisham and not by her name. Mm. And so that must be like a hyphenated last name kind of thing or just a stipulation that she uses that, whatever.
We'll call her Karen.
Karen Grisham is her name from now on. We have bestowed
Name's
the
Karen.
Title. So she... What do you say? How do you say it? Executive order taking away people
arbitrarily, unequivocally just decided
people's right to conceal carry or open carry, even though they have that in the state of New Mexico. She just decided she was going to take it away.
And Magoo says this Grisham novel sucks.
This video from the press conference is nothing short of ridiculous.
All the examples you cited are crimes. Kids shooting at other kids, shooting from cars. So what's the value of the civil order? Why not just do better law enforcement?
Both. The value of the order is that it gives me three things. One, it says it's a statewide issue and it's a message to everyone to start leveraging their resources and arresting people. Two, the jurisdictions come at this, including with the DOJ restrictions, differently. Without the leveraging and the additional resources, arresting, and where do they go? We've got to make sure that everyone is bumping up their services. It's a message to the Metropolitan Detention Center. It's a message to the HMOs. You better figure out treatment. We have been sort of stalled out, to your point. This order basically says, stop stalling out, and to your point, just arrest everyone. Well, I also have to have the ability, I can't arrest everyone. There are literally too many people to arrest. So this would allow us...
Someone got a concealed carry permit in Albuquerque walking down a public street, they're not going to get arrested.
I can make the point that they, maybe they should be. And this is the point.
We take away constitutional rights to make points.
Yeah.
I can make the point.
And she's having a problem that a lot of authoritarians have had, which is that there's too many people to arrest. Mm. And so now what she's essentially doing is, you know, some people have guns and that's fine. And some people have guns and it's not fine because they're going to hurt someone. So now anyone with a gun, that becomes their target. Now they know who to arrest because no one's allowed to have them. And so therefore, if they do have them, then they are now a criminal and probably going to commit some kind of criminal act. And so now they know who they can target and go arrest. And it's anyone who is trying to carry a weapon. They'd have to be open carrying a weapon for you to be able to see it. But there's more.
I can't wait.
She keeps going.
I'm willing to do anything and everything within a shred of evidence-based effort. Because if you're not horrified that on any street corner in too many cities...
Now, first off, she says she's willing to do anything and everything within a shred of evidence.
That if you look at a gun.
So what she means is if there is a single shred of evidence that taking away people's right to open carry firearms is going to decrease their gun violence, then she's going to do it. And the evidence is... I would say less than a shred when it comes to this. And of course, most of the people that are committing violent crimes are not people who are out there, you know, these nice legal concealed carry.
They don't even look at evidence.
They're not worried about the evidence whatsoever. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about this New Mexico gun order, what it means to use a public health emergency to take away or attempt to take away people's right to carry a weapon. I'm Liberty at Night, Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USC USA News update. Hurricane Lee continues stirring up dangerous rip currents and surf in the Bahamas, Hispaniola, the Turks and Caicos, other islands, and elsewhere nearby. The Category 3 storm slowly spinning northward across the Atlantic Ocean. Forecasters at the National Hurricane Center, it's still too soon to tell how it could impact the continental U.S. Further out to sea, Category 1 Hurricane Margo has formed, but looks to remain in the middle of the Atlantic through the week. The U.S. State Department officials are explaining the $6 billion in Iranian oil money being freed up as part of a prisoner swap. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller got a little frustrated talking to reporters about it on Tuesday.
Right. So where that analogy breaks down, no one has given Iran a dollar here. These are Iran's funds. These are Iranian money.
The U.S. has agreed to release the Iranian funds and release several Iranian prisoners in exchange for the release of five U.S. citizens still being held in Tehran. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
All right, we are back with Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. Nate and Charlie, we were talking about this gun order in New Mexico. One of the things I keep seeing cited are these studies saying that concealed carry holders kill more people. And I looked at it. I looked at some of the evidence today, and it is total BS. They use this evidence and say, oh, well, concealed carry holders actually killed this many people between these dates. And, okay, they counted suicides in that rate if you're a concealed carry holder. They counted domestic violence inside the home. They counted a bunch of things that had nothing to do with whether or not you were carrying a gun in public. It was anything that possibly happened. Someone had a concealed carry, I guess, or whatever. Yeah. Even if you killed yourself, it went down as a number that they were citing. And so her evidence is BS on this. And by the way, the evidence doesn't matter. Doesn't matter even if you could present evidence that this was going to work, which it's not. Because you can't just... People's rights are not determined by what other people, how other people abuse those rights.
And it sounds terrible, but I don't care if half of New Mexico killed themselves with their concealed carry pistol, which would be really sad.
It would.
That would be a day to remember.
It would be a.
You know, in New Mexico,
in history,
especially if they all did it at the same time.
Is almost as bad as Jan 6.
No, yeah. It wouldn't be close to that.
Almost, I'm saying,
but. That shouldn't take away anyone else's right.
No.
To conceal carry it to protect themselves.
They shouldn't.
In New Mexico, there is someone with a gun sticking out of their waist or their belt. And I'll tell you, if you're a young person, you're not allowed to have a handgun.
It's a crime already.
I got it. But we won't be able to arrest all of them. So imagine, just in a perfect world, if this was upheld,
she's deluded.
All of these police officers the ability to focus on the real criminals.
She's got a guy with a gun in his waist sitting next to her.
We took an oath to the Constitution. Isn't it unconstitutional to say you cannot exercise your carry license?
With one exception. And that is, if there's an emergency, and I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time, I can invoke additional powers. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute.
Were you rubbing his nipple with the mouse there? You're like circling?
No, I was just sitting here trying not to pass out.
But people could see it on here because it doesn't look like that's displayed. But I could see the full video. And Nate had the mouse hand over the cop, his left nipple, and was just waving it around like this.
What she just said, the guy asked her about this and asked, sorry, let me let Charlie calm down.
The live group, I can't with the memes.
This is the most important part of this episode.
It is. I'm sorry.
Right now.
I said I was sorry. This is more important than 9/11? And Jan 6? All right. I'll calm down. That's fine. I'll
keep
stop
laughing about nipple rubs. It's fine.
That's fine. I'll be super duper serious. This calls for super duper seriousness.
No, it's fine.
This is my super duper serious face.
You tell me what you thought was important from that, Charlie.
You know, the problem is, as the video kept going on, it just, her voice just rubbed me in a way that I just turned around. Like, I tuned out.
That's good.
Now, the most important part here is where she obviously says that even my oath that I took, there are exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
There's exceptions to the Constitution. We posted this meme out before when there's a super duper emergency.
I forgot to put that in the
when a governor or someone in power arbitrarily declares a super duper emergency, the Constitution no longer exists.
Yeah.
And they can just make whatever, they just make it up. And that clause, by the way, in the Constitution is hidden. You know, they wrote it in invisible ink.
Okay.
So only when you reach...
Only Nicolas Cage can read this
or
clause.
Or Ben Stiller. Yeah.
Ben Stiller.
In the National Treasure.
That's Night at the Museum. That's what
or
you're
Night
thinking
at the
about.
Museum, yeah, yeah.
National Treasure is where they're reading the stuff on the...
That's right. So, you have to reach a certain level of government before you can read that. Because they didn't want the people to know.
Of course.
Obviously, that their constitutional rights could be stripped in these exceptions.
The really sad part about this is that she's using a public health emergency to take away this right from people, I guess. So public health emergencies, that's something that we've all become accustomed to. And I believe you could even go back throughout the history of the show, and maybe at some point in time during 2020 and 2021, we maybe mentioned that they would use things like public health emergencies to take away other rights as well. Because
I don't know how we did that.
The CDC.
That must have been a vision from God.
Yeah. The Centers for Disease Control started talking about gun violence a little bit ago and public health.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're
using... the only thing more dangerous than COVID.
Yes.
Yeah. And
it's
racism.
The most dangerous thing.
Yeah. Gun violence and racism.
I don't know exactly if she really believes this is constitutional or not, because she said there's only one exception, and it's the public health emergency. She then later said that she has the ability to, that open carry and concealed carry laws are state laws that she has a jurisdiction over. So I think maybe she thought about that one later on, but her natural reaction was to say, yeah, it's not constitutional, but I declared an emergency, so therefore I can do whatever I want.
The real crime of this video, though, I think, is the fact that this cop sits next to her and doesn't, like, shut up.
I know.
Like, that to me is a real crime. Just, you have cowards that aren't willing to stand up to authoritarian monsters. You know, they sometimes just suckle at the power teat.
Sometimes cops are authoritarians, you know.
That is true.
You might not be part of the constitutional sheriffs and peace officers.
Which is why I think this whole thin blue line is just such garbage.
Yeah, I mean,
garbage.
Who do you think is going to arrest the people that are carrying their guns out in the street? It's not going to be the governor.
Yeah.
It's going to be people that are working for that guy sitting next to her right now. Now, she cited earlier, she cited these two emotional sticking point crimes for people for the reasoning here. Felt compelled to act in response to gun deaths, including the fatal shooting of an 11-year-old boy outside a minor league baseball stadium this week. And then also mentioned one other one. I can't remember which one. The 11-year-old boy thing gets mentioned a couple times. Last month, another one, 5-year-old, 14-year-old boy shot and killed a girl with his father's gun while they were at his home. So cited that August shooting death as well. Neither one of those have anything to do with conceal or open carry laws. That's the frustrating part.
Now, last time I checked, 14-year-old boys aren't supposed to have guns already. And that's kind of what the reporter was alluding to. Like, hey, aren't these crimes already against the law?
Yeah, like that minor already have that gun.
What do you, like, how is stopping law-abiding citizens? This is why I like that guy from North Carolina. You know, that black guy who stood up and, you know, talked about law-abiding citizens. I hear his voice every time I hear law-abiding citizens, you know? So why are you going to come at me, a law-abiding citizen? You know, the law-abiding.
I haven't seen that video in a while. I need to find that.
That's a good one. These people were already violating law. They weren't law-abiding.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that they're blaming on a road rage incident, which is what they're blaming the 11-year-old getting shot on, was outside of a game. At this time, I haven't looked at it. I haven't looked at it since then, but at the time she gave this speech and signed this order, they hadn't found the people who did it. They didn't know exactly what happened, and since they didn't know who did it, they didn't know the concealed carry, open carry status of the people, whether or not they had legal, illegal guns, whatever it was. They just cited it because an 11-year-old got killed, and then they cited one where a 13-year-old got killed, and likely neither one of them had to do with the people having a concealed carry license or whatever.
They also talked about last month this 5-year-old girl was fatally shot while asleep in a motorhome. Four teens can't have a gun as a teenager. At least a handgun until you're 21. They entered the mobile home community in two stolen vehicles just before 6 a.m. and they opened fire on the trailer. The girl was struck in the head and later died. I hate that she died. It's super sad.
Which is why they're using it as an excuse here.
Extremely sad. But you have four teenagers who had already stolen two vehicles, so clearly they're already criminals, and then they aren't supposed to have handguns anyway that they could conceal carry because they're teenagers, and then they shot up a mobile home, which is terrible. It's sad. But what exactly is going – what's the end goal here if you're going to take away people's rights – to conceal carry a weapon, how is that going to stop these situations from happening?
The
very specific one she mentioned, how would they have been stopped by invoking the emergency powers and taking away people's rights to conceal carry? How are those situations? She's trying to say that that wouldn't have happened.
No, the answer is that it wouldn't have done anything. I think she actually admitted to that in the press conference at one point in time. And what she's also admitting to, she's saying that they can't arrest everyone. Essentially, what she's doing is, if you have a gun, you're under arrest. You're not allowed to have it. Like, that's what it is. So, therefore, they just arrest everyone with guns.
I know what she's doing. She's doing something, Nate.
Yeah.
And that's more than what...
That's what we got to do.
That's more than what other people are doing.
That's true.
And
that's the actual answer.
It's so narcissistic. Look at me. I'm doing something.
Yeah.
No one else is willing to do anything because they obviously don't care about these people like I do.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me.
By the way, the 14-year-old boy and the dad got arrested after that teen getting killed, the 13-year-old girl getting killed, and had nothing to do with whether or not someone had a concealed carry. or open carry, like nothing at all. And people always bring this up. Like in Jacksonville, they brought up the fact that, Florida had just signed open carry, I think. Or I still haven't looked up to see what it was. I say I have no idea what the law was every time we talk about this. But people were blaming it on DeSantis signing that, as if the guy would have been worried from his walk from the car into the Dollar General about whether or not he was allowed to carry a gun between those two places. Mm. What kind of freaking idiots are we dealing with right now?
It's madness.
It's ridiculous.
And the Haters Club is coming up with some good stuff, too. Like, imagine, after 9/11, they banned planes. Because it's the plane's fault.
I would have been fine with that. I hate planes.
Or drunk drivers. You know, why don't they take everyone's license away to drive? If no one drove, no one would die by drunk driving.
And then you could just arrest everyone who's driving and assume that they were committing a crime.
Actually, just arrest everyone that just has a car.
Yeah.
And they're all registered, so we know where they're at.
They're probably going to commit a crime at some point in time.
Here's an idea. Why don't they put us all in prison? We all have our own cell. Everyone just is in prison, and that way no one gets hurt.
So there's this quote from Ayn Rand that I posted over the weekend, and she said, "There's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. When there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking laws." And that's kind of what I see happening right now. So great job. A couple weird things happened. So Ted Lieu, I believe, I don't know how to say that.
Lieu.
Maybe from Hawaii. I'm not sure. He is a crazy lefty about most things. He says, "I support gun." Well, you read some, Charlie.
"So I support gun safety laws. However, this order from the governor of New Mexico violates the U.S. Constitution. No state in the union."
California. Sorry. Thanks, Costco.
"No state in the union can suspend the federal constitution. There is no such thing as a public health emergency exception to the U.S. Constitution." Well, he must not be able to read the invisible letters either.
No.
He hasn't made it high up enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
"You, sir, are not Nicolas Cage."
Then this is probably the most surprising.
Yeah.
Old David Hogg with the orange. Remember, the orange square.
Yes.
"You're against guns.
Fights gun, and seeing in politics is not against guns."
He even says, "I support gun safety, but there is no such thing as a state public health emergency exception to the U.S. Constitution." What has happened?
I don't know.
Who took over David Hogg's Twitter or X account? I bet Elon Musk posted that for him.
He probably did. Okay, it gets weirder. Actually, this is not weird, but it gets more frustrating. Well, the governor's, like we said earlier, in response to Ted, said, "Hey, Ted, conceal and open carry are state laws that I have jurisdiction over. If you're really interested in helping curb gun violence, I welcome you to join our next police academy class. And so if you care about gun violence, you'd either be a cop or you would support her arresting everyone who has a gun.
Or go to our re-education camp."
So
you're just not educated enough.
This is
Mr. Blue.
And this is a thing that we've talked about a bunch of times, which is, well, these are state laws that I have jurisdiction over. Now, also, we've mentioned there have been Supreme Court cases about this and might contradict what Governor Karen Grisham is saying right now.
Although the tough one about that is one of the cases is D.C.
Mm.
It's Heller. D.C. versus
the
Heller?
The Bruins after Heller.
Okay, that's true, yeah.
So that's the most, I believe that's the most recent one, or is there a more recent one? Whatever the most recent one is, I can't remember. Anyhow, the other thing is, okay, so does that mean that states can make any laws that they have this jurisdiction over, Charlie? I thought we were against states making tyrannical laws.
As long as it fits the narrative, it's okay.
Yeah. What if they wanted to ban, like, transgender surgeries for minors?
Or, like,
Is that something they have jurisdiction
killing
over?
Killing babies.
Maybe it's killing babies that they have jurisdiction over.
Yeah.
But no, in this case, first off, when she was asked on the spot, she said, well, yeah, it's against the Constitution, but not during an emergency. Mm. And I have declared an emergency. And now she's saying, well, this is a state law, and so I have the authority to do this. I don't think that's going to hold up, and I would love to see it not hold up, and maybe she needs to spend some time in jail. I don't know.
Did you see that they had a rally? where a bunch of people...
There was a rally.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a white pill when it comes to this story. Mm-hmm. But I do have that pulled up right here. So let's look at this. So
and they all were like, I have nipples. Can you arrest me?
So they have, what's the nipple obsession today?
You started it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
So they had this rally and a bunch of people carried their guns in New Mexico.
I don't think after it was arrested.
Against, and they did not get arrested. Let's see if the FBI tracks them down and sends them the fines that they're supposed to be getting.
Well, the state jurisdiction.
That's true.
Not federal.
Let's see what they were saying.
Crime is real, and all we want to do is protect our families, our friends, our communities. I've gone on two combat tours with the Marine Corps and fought on the front lines. I've done 11 trips as an independent contractor. She thinks she has the right. Take away my freedom to protect my community. I don't think so.
The guy was pretty jacked, too.
Yeah.
We will not stand. We will not comply.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Oh, that's good to see. And it's also good to see that the cops did not come in there and try to arrest them. And there's something to be said about a bunch of people that are protesting the government's order, and all of them are carrying guns. And the cops did not want to come in there and arrest them or find them like they were supposed to. I'm not saying anything specific about it.
You just find it interesting.
I just think it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And yeah. That, what if they didn't have guns and the order was that they weren't allowed to protest the fact that they couldn't have guns?
That guy has several guns.
Yeah, lots of guns.
He's got two here. And... those should be illegal. You know?
All right. What else? The other
seems like a former Navy SEAL, at least.
Before we go, Michael Knowles, you've heard of him on the Daily Wire.
Yes.
He says, unpopular opinion, civil leaders do, in fact, have emergency authority to suspend temporarily many legal rights.
God. Did they fire him after that?
Oh, I'm sure he got a promotion or something. I don't know. I'll have to check out and see if...
This is exactly why you can't follow people or ideologies or anything. You have to have a principled base. And when someone says something stupid like this, who Michael Knowles usually says a lot of good things.
He is a tyrant, though. He is a right-wing authoritarian.
Yes.
And he, I mean, I thought that that was just speculation, but after I listened to him on Tim Pool, and like, he literally believes that the right should come in and rule with right-wing culturalism with an iron fist, using the state, and that that's what they should do. Yeah. He's like the closest thing to a fascist that I've seen, actually on the right, and being as popular as he is. I'm not calling him a fascist. I'm just saying... He does believe that the government has the power to do all of these things.
To implement his moral.
Whatever his morals are. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he's completely fine with it. He was against the COVID lockdown, so therefore it was bad. He's against this one. But he does want you to know that when it's something that he thinks is important, that they should be able to do this. Mm. And that is why we can't
have... He is right.
Yes. That's why we can't have nice things. And that's the problem. And this is why you can't trust a lot of people on the right in general, because this is a really great embodiment of what they believe.
The Headbangers Club is saying that he's usually trolling people.
Oh, like, he was.
That might be a joke.
I will tell you this. This is exactly in line with the things I've heard him say on other interviews before, and he's been defending this constantly since saying it. I don't think that this is a troll at all. I could be wrong on that, but I do not believe this is a troll. We'll see. Bailey says he's been consistent on this stance. It is true. So like Costco just said, if you
don't listen to him all the time.
If you ever listen to him, this is his line of thinking. And I agree. This is his line of thinking. Now, maybe we just took the bait there. I'm not sure. Did I have anything else? Oh, we don't have time for this. We already talked about this, the gun owners. You know, I like that we had a white pill. I did have it as the last thing in this stack, but we talked about the other maddening thing anyway. Charlie asked me last night, do you think we would have the guts to go do that if something like that happened in Nashville? And I think we would. I honestly do. Honestly think that we would.
We'd have to go fishing first, but...
Well, yeah. After that.
We could need a good day of fishing anyway.
Yeah. Not that there's a giant empty safe right there behind you.
Yes.
Although I do see you put the gun up. Or
that's for just looks.
To go back to your room or whatever. That's fine. Yeah, so what were we just talking about? Oh, would we do this? I think we would, especially if a lot of our friends got involved. Would we do it by ourselves? Like, just me and Charlie? Like, imagine if there was no one out there except for one guy carrying, like, three guns and he's just walking around. He probably would have died by cop, more than likely. But when you get a bunch of your friends put together, then you start to have more power than the government in that scenario, and maybe that's why they don't like it when people have guns. That could be the problem.
Also, the other white pill is this. This might turn into a good thing.
Yeah.
Considering, well, yeah, so you take one idiot leftist that invokes, that actually goes this far.
You think this could be precedent?
To stir enough people to be like, all right, now you're really crossing the line here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to, yeah. You know, we kind of didn't show up when we should have on these other things, you know, but now you're taking it way too far, and we're going to show you that you're not powerful enough. And that, honestly, the white pill is Americans have so many guns.
Yeah.
And for them to actually take over authoritatively, I think is almost impossible. I'm not saying it is, but this is a great example that
on a local level,
on a very local level, that they got enough people out here. And even, you know, the cops were like, yeah, we're not going to do anything. So I don't know.
I thought you were going to say it was going to be a legal precedent, like the Supreme Court was going to get involved. Or
that could also happen. I mean,
state had to do something first, I'm sure. But what if she uses this public health emergency to take away what the courts have decided is this constitutional right to carry, and that ends up striking down not only her ruling, but all the other times that they try to use public health emergencies to take away people's rights? And then that could be a good thing. That could be a really good thing. So maybe this is a giant white pill. They go a step too far, and we get ourselves a little bit more liberty because of it.
Mm.
Okay. Well, let's go.
We'll see. Let's see what happens. Stay tuned to New Mexico.
So Tactical Warlock said, I thought this was litigated in the New York Supreme Court case. It was. That's the problem. And that did have to do with carrying, and essentially, they had to come up with things like school zones or public places or whatever that you wouldn't be able to do it. That case essentially said that you can at least conceal carry, that they can't stop you from doing that. And so that's why everyone's saying, well, this is blatantly unconstitutional. This is just a fresh case from like last year that just happened. And now they're trying to use a public health emergency to get around it. And so now I would like to see them say, you can't be using these emergencies to take away people's rights.
This is a beautiful display of civil disobedience.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the Painkiller Netflix show and some dumb tweets from last week.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327. Or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamgday.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.